The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Good evening and welcome to Movies You Should See. This week we are doing the late 80s classic Die Hard. I'm Special Agent Johnson.
I'm Special Agent Johnson.
I'm Special Agent Johnson.
And I'm Special Agent Johnson.
No relation.
Oh, we hope funny. You're laughing. That was our first planned joke. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually scripted something.
That's
about as far as it goes.
Yeah, we'll never do that again. Let's never do that again.
Well, I thought it was funny.
Well, I thought it was funny downstairs. I'm not sure now. Maybe. Okay.
As long as we think we're funny, that's exactly. Fine.
We'll play this back and laugh hysterically later.
Jason will be laughing.
I think we're fucking
hilarious. He'll be
hilarious.
Laughing. He'll be... trying not to wake his wife up.
Exactly. Hopefully.
Right, so this is the classic Die Hard.
Oh,
what a
God.
Film.
This is the genre benchmark. The action genre benchmark. It hasn't... This is the first big shoot-em-up action film, I reckon. This is like, yeah. You know, that is specifically all about the fucking violence, all about the guns and the terrorists and killing them. You know.
Now... I have to say, I remember Die Hard coming out, and again, it was one I was no way allowed to see at the age I was when it came out.
Yeah.
Fair enough, because it was a hideously violent film. That said, it's not gruesome.
It's not gruesome?
No.
It's violent, there's a lot of guns, and a lot of people get shot, but
there's not a lot of blood,
guts, and gore.
There's a lot of blood.
There is a lot of blood.
Blood.
And the pain. And all that.
But it's not overly graphic, is it?
If it came out today, it would be a 15.
Watched this film with my mum at the time that it came out. It was probably its first pass on TV, so you know, a good 3 years or so after it had been at the cinema. And I watched it with my mum, and she was horrified at the language. Because that kind of mainstream film didn't have that kind of language to it, and she was watching it on telly, and she said, oh, I don't like this. Oh, there's far too many F words in this. And I think that's what it was about. It just did not pull any punches. It was straight in your face, and the action was right there, and you were drawn into it. The language was foul.
Yeah, I have to say, I watched this about the same time I watched Lethal Weapon for the first time, and the same time I kind of watched the Alien films for the first time. It's sort of like when my parents sort of let me watch those more adult films, about 11, 10 years old, and like sort of, you know, watching these things, and they were edited on ITV, so you weren't watching the whole thing anyway.
They'll show Die Hard at like 5:30 on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
With the most incredible overdubbing.
One of the worst. Right, let's, for anyone...
Always watch this film after 9 p.m.
Okay,
yeah.
So, warning, from now on, this is going to be quite an explicit show in terms of language.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have been warned.
It's going past to say the motherfucker watershed.
A lot. We can't help it with this film because it's a quarterthon, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
From start to finish.
We just started on a quote. It's just, it's this. The script is just, but let's
blinding.
For the two or three human beings under that rock with Wi-Fi connections who haven't seen this film, let's just go through the plot line.
Okay.
John McClane, who
played by Bruce Willis,
comes to LA from New York. He's a New York cop to see his wife, who he is recently
ex-wife,
who he's recently estranged from, and try to patch things up over the holiday period. It's Christmas. And so he gets invited to her work do, and she works for a big Japanese corporation, and he goes along. And lo and behold, in the middle of the party, terrorists bust in.
It's a huge bank type thing, isn't
it? It's a bank kind of corporate do. And terrorists bust in, take all of the partygoers hostage.
Isn't it premium bonds?
I don't know.
It's something paper-based.
It's
bonds, isn't it? Yeah.
Something paper-based. That narrows it down.
It's A4 lined. They're stealing
coins.
They're stealing calendars.
All the printer paper was gone on Monday morning.
I know what we'll do. We'll steal all of the world's post-it notes.
Post-it notes are the most popular stolen item from any office anywhere around the world.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
Post-it notes.
Taking computers. Premium, I've stolen software. I've premium never stolen. Item. Post-it notes.
Taking 40 notes. Hostages for stealing post-it notes might be considered slightly dramatic and possibly a bit extreme.
But
so
I mean,
why were they being held?
Hats off to Ian Post-it for inventing the post-it note.
Oh, God, the glue that didn't quite work.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Semi-glue.
Semi-glue.
It's kind of like the
like the lame horse that they made.
Oh, hilarious interlude.
So
we were talking about Die Hard.
So terrorists take over. Bruce Willis escapes, but he's in the building. He's in this. It's all set in.
He can't just walk away.
He can't just walk away. He can't get out of the building.
No, he's got to save.
It's in his blood, man.
Yeah.
It's in his blood.
He's got to save his wife, ex-wife, and save the hostages. And he's always he's the lone outsider cop.
And they don't know he's there, sort of thing.
At first, and then as the plot line develops. And he's always being forced into a position where he has to do something more, because otherwise, you know, you just sit upstairs and fuck with them. But no, he has to, you know, there's something happens and he has to move around and everything like that, and he has to save the day. So that's the basic premise.
Slowly picking them off one by one.
Basic premise of the film.
Now I have a gun.
Now I have a gun.
Oh. Now I have a machine gun.
So, it's a case of, for me, it is a case of the perfect elements coming together to create a cinematic, may I say it, masterpiece.
Yes, you can.
As much as it's something that is entitled Die Hard, not necessarily one that you want to give that credit to.
Just think about it. What does that actually mean?
It means it's
die hard.
Yeah.
What's that?
Live soft, die hard.
I can't get a mental image of what it means to die hard.
Well, like, it's along those lines.
We just woke up Jason's wife.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mrs. Jason.
Yeah. Dying Hard. Yeah. And then there was a sequel, Die Harder. Die Hard 4 will be Die Hard Viagra.
Well, it was Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Die Hard with a Vengeance. What was that? A fucking 18.
Do we know what
marathon.
It's going to be called?
Rick
I think
Mortis.
It's just Die Hard 4.0.
No, they were on about Die Hard, Die Hardest.
I hope so, because that limits
that
them in, just this one.
That insinuates that that is the ultimate in hardness. Yeah. You can't get any harder.
No, because they could always go for Die Hard 5, Die Hardest again.
Or die even harder than the hardest.
Eventually you have to get to Die Hard. No, really, I know we've messed you about before, but this one really is the hardest dying that you're ever going to see anyone do ever.
Die Hard infinitely
but that
hard.
Won't fit on a poster, not on a bus.
Die Hard 8, Die Chuck Norris. that's got to be the hardest. Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah.
I hope Chuck Norris listens to this show.
So do I.
If you're Chuck Norris, email me and say hi. Because then I would
take a bit
die
from
happy.
Those QVC adverts and get in touch.
Yeah,
someone that hard.
I've got.
Like Chuck.
We have in our attic one of your multi.
We do,
right?
And how often do we use it, Richard?
Not enough.
Never.
If I did, I could be like Chuck.
You could never be like
honest,
Chuck.
I don't use it because that amount of like power Chuck. Scares me.
You could never be. Like
I could
Chuck.
No.
You
I couldn't handle like being Chuck. Chuck. No. So I can't. I can't go that way.
Yeah.
Speaking of action heroes, yeah. Mr. Willis.
Mr.
Now,
Willis.
we've not gotten on to Mr. Willis
let's
before.
Let's compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Well, let's first of all say that he was a bin man.
Was he?
Was he really?
This is what I've heard. I don't know how true this is.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He was a bin man on the streets of New York or wherever.
That's amazing.
And some guy spotted him and said, hey, you look really good. I want to screen test you or something like that. Unless I've just randomly heard that in a dream.
And read it.
But that's the story I've seen.
I think that's the story I've they heard. Tell you when you're a New York bin man and you go and you say, I want to quit.
Yeah, possibly.
And then they tell you that story and you go, well, stay another week.
Sean Connery was a milkman. Was like,
Harrison
you know,
Ford was a carpenter.
Yeah,
so they
happens.
All started in porn then.
Yeah. Oh dear. So Bruce Willis.
And we thought we'd be flagging at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no. Bruce Willis was made famous by Moonlighting.
Moonlighting with
Moonlighting.
Shepherd.
Which if you've ever seen is hilarious.
It is really funny.
I never watched it when it was first done, but I've watched a couple recently and it has me giggling.
Really
I might
good.
Give that a look then. It's some Paramount, isn't it?
Yeah, and I watched it. First time around, because I am that old. And it was really funny that there'd not been an American comedy quite like that, because it was really, really subtle and it wasn't played for laughs. There was no laugh track, but it was really, really sweetly comedic. And the relationship between Bruce Willis and who's a face?
Sybil Shepherd.
That's her.
Who's a face?
Absolutely brilliant. And the whole series was really, you know, one that gripped you from start to finish.
What I really took from it was the fact that it was like what we were talking about with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang before, a few weeks earlier, which was about the fact that they kept coming out of reality. There's like one bit that it was what made me piss, where it was just like Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis are having this argument and like, and Sybil just says, oh, this is ridiculous. And Bruce says, yeah, well, tell that to the writers. And they both look at the screen at the same time. It's just such a
They made good use of that fourth wall and really got forwards.
Yeah, just like slagging off the crew and the directors at the same time. Quite
You've got to slag off the crew.
And each other doing a straight-to-camera aside about the person that's in the room that talking about, and just that nice unrequited love. So we were used to seeing Bruce Willis as this really nice, you know, unrequited guy.
So was this his first action film?
Yeah.
Because he was one of the big three, wasn't he? It was him and Arnie and Sly.
Stallone, yeah.
And they all had Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Demi, right. Or Demi, as she was at the time, would sort of hang around at the back. And it was all a bit...
Hang around the back.
Oh,
Planet Hollywood.
Give it up.
Yeah, dying hard.
juvenile
now.
Level yes. That you've gone to saddens me.
That one's called Charlie's Angels 2.
Right.
Now that was dying hard.
I wouldn't subject myself to it, to be perfectly honest. I saw that one coming. Judge that one by its cover.
It was on Channel 5.
Right. Charlie's Angels 2. No. Bad move. Bad move.
So.
Go back to Bruce Willis.
Yeah, so his reputation was
not one of the
different.
Action heroes.
Romantic comedic.
And then, so to throw that in, facing off with a Shakespearean actor.
Now, we need to talk very seriously about that man.
Now, we've already talked about him in the Robin Hood one. So
I know, and he warrants doing it again. Alan Rickman. The man is incredible.
Legend.
The man's flawless.
Legend.
Again, you've never seen him be shit.
Any frame he touches turns to gold.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Now, he plays a German in this one, which is quite a slant that he's not just English.
Yeah.
Because he could have been...
So evil and calculating in the way only a classically trained British actor could be.
Yeah.
But the Germans are easy targets for Hollywood villains, as are ourselves. And
We spoke about this, didn't we, the other day?
Yeah. Now it's the French. Now it's the French. Have you noticed there's more and more French villains?
Because we think they're just a little bit too snooty.
Mm.
Sorry to anyone in France.
We've kind of gone out of vogue now since like the Joss Whedon thing. We're no longer playing the villains anymore. There's sort of like positive British roles now.
Oh, that's good.
Coming in.
Thank you, Joss.
Thank you, Joss. Thanks for doing that for us. But now the French are getting the run.
Sorry.
10 years ago, the French couldn't do any wrong in Hollywood, but now, no. We've got the Merovingian and stuff, and they're all
I don't know. They've always been like the sly guy who's going to sleep with your wife.
Yeah, there's always that, but they're not always. But they're not been
there. Do you remember in Cheers they had the French guy who would come in and try to steal Woody's girlfriend?
Yeah,
and he was French.
Just playing to a huge national.
It was horrific and very offensive to the French.
Exactly.
But Cheers was such a good show, we didn't mind.
Yeah, but it's one of those stereotypes that the French probably don't mind that much, really.
Yeah.
Kind of like us being so emotionless and everything. It's not something you really don't like, you know. No, I'm emotional. I'm temperamental. No, I like being cold. I'm gonna go with that one. That's fine.
Well, we suit the weather, really,
exactly,
don't we?
It's drizzly.
Drizzly, it's grey.
It's grey.
Speak for yourself. It's better. Like a ray of fucking sunshine.
We're grey and drizzly. Oh, what a picture we're painting of ourselves here.
It's better than Sweden, though. That's really cold.
Yeah.
So.
Nice ladies.
It's cold in Die Hard because it's Christmas.
It is. Yes. We could have discussed this one on the Christmas movie special, or maybe briefly.
I think I did mention it.
I think it had a mention.
I did mention it as one of my favourite Christmas movies.
That would have like tripled your enthusiasm.
No. You asked me what Christmas movies I did like, because I hated them all so much, and I said *Lethal Weapon* and *Die Hard*.
Really?
And my favourite Christmas movies.
Yeah.
They're great. Watch them every year.
And the
round the Christmas
escape.
Tree. Nothing better than watching Bruce Willis or.
Do you watch it round the Christmas tree?
Round the Christmas tree. There's a TV in my Christmas tree. And I sit watching it. Fuck the presents. Mel Gibson just shot that guy. Did you see it?
That would be a cool place to have a TV.
It would.
What would be the best place to have a TV?
We wouldn't. Inside
a TV anyway.
I thought, I can see another competition.
Distract me.
On the ceiling.
I can see another competition coming on here. The coolest place to put a TV.
To win our respect.
There's a chain of bars where they have TVs in the toilets above the urinals.
Urinals.
One of the tiles in the wall in front of you is a 7-inch TV.
You see, I thought it was that distracting, especially if it's a woman. I might get the stage fright, and it's not that good.
You might start,
pissing all over someone else's shoes.
No one is watching you.
Yeah, I know, but you know,
it's TV.
Yeah, I know, but the mental, okay.
And you're not peeing in front of the TV. I don't know if I can.
No, I've never really tried.
It just occurs to me. It's never come up.
No.
See, peeing in front of the TV would normally be peeing on the video player, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have you
it's
ever
kind
done
of like,
that?
You know.
No.
Do we know anyone who's.
A friend of mine, when he was very young, sleptwalked into the living room where his.
Sleptwalked?
Yes.
Is that the past tense version?
It is.
It would be.
Sleepwalked.
No.
Okay, I'll say it in the present tense. My friend. What? No, I can't say it in the present sense.
Walking whilst asleep
into the living room where his mum and dad were watching a film, pissed all over the video player and blew it up.
That's incredible.
And then went back to bed unaware.
That's good.
I mean, you get a lot of stories of people pissing in wardrobes and opening up record players and having a shit on them.
I've never heard that.
I think that was in Barnsley.
I've heard several
big
stories.
A guy going out getting drunk, came home, up the lid, sat down, had a dump.
Talking
you
of shit.
Turd going around on the turntable.
Woke up the next morning, shit on the turntable. There you go.
Talking of shit, Die Hard 2, but let's get back to Die Hard for the moment.
Yeah.
So that was a double
okay,
barrel
so
back onto
before
it.
Before we actually went off on this huge tangent, we were talking about Alan Rickman being a good baddie.
Yeah.
Now he's called off Christmas.
He's called off Christmas, but this time he's pissing off Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Now that was foolish.
It was actually.
It was the brilliant, I love the scene where he kills Mr. The Japanese guy, the boss.
Yes.
Because you don't think, because in most of those, you know, you think, because Bruce Willis is there, but he's got like four terrorists around him and Bruce Willis has got one gun, so he can't do anything. and you think Bruce Willis is going to come in and save the day and save the guy, and then he's got, I'm going to count to three, and like says, well, you know, I can't do anything, you're going to have to shoot me. It's like, okay, bang. And it's brilliant just how casual he is about the violence. It's just so horrible. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, cold. Mr. Takashi wasn't cooperative, so he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Now, one of the key elements of the film is that for most of it, he has no shoes on.
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because I thought you meant Alan Rickman for a second there.
No.
Yeah. No, the main character.
Yeah, he's a German terrorist, so they don't wear shoes.
He has no shoes on. Which, a minor
element. Oh my God, he's got no shoes on. He must be a German terrorist.
Those telltale signs, like those cigarettes.
Known for it.
Known for it, yeah. Hitler. Look at Hitler's shoes. He's not got any.
Like. You know, I think you might be slightly incorrect there.
I've never seen a shot of Hitler's feet. I don't know.
I think he's them boots.
That's, why you don't hear the Nazis when they're coming.
No.
They've got no shoes on.
Snuck up on Poland.
They're marching.
No, yeah. They got around everyone's defences because they were a fucking stealth army. Submarines coupled with that? Jesus Christ. No wonder they kicked their ass.
It's like I'm on Sliders. And I've gone into like a slightly alternative universe. And you three are real, but it's not really you.
We're all CG, Rich. Yeah. We're all CG. Yeah,
we'd be speaking German right now if you were, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Great. I love your high grasp of German linguistics. It's such, you know, your language retention and acquisition skills are obviously peak.
In a name and shame kind of way, I have to say, my father, in preparation for taking a school trip to Germany for a week, went to a German night school class and, coming out, knew only how to ask for a large piece of Black Forest Gatto and a big pint of beer.
That's going to get you very far.
It got him far enough. As every night in that hotel, he sat with his big pint of beer and large piece of Black Forest Gatto and a big grin upon his face.
So it was a lovely story.
I remember they made lovely hot chocolate there, because I went too. It was a very lovely trip. Anyway.
What are we doing?
Right.
John McTiernan. Let's talk about John McTiernan, the director of Die Hard.
Yes.
Who also directed Die Hard with a Vengeance, Last Action Hero, Rollerball.
What did we do the other week?
Mentioned the other week.
What did we do?
Done Predator. So this is the second John McTiernan film we've done.
I'd like to talk about Die Hard 3.
Well, let's get on to John McTiernan. Well, let's just go for John McTiernan for a second.
Oh, we were still on Die Hard 2, weren't we?
We haven't gone to Die Hard 2. Let's do this progressionally.
This is the second time you've been interjected whilst talking about John McTiernan.
Yes.
And got rather upset.
Sorry.
But I want to talk about John.
Well, we're not going to, Mike.
Well, I want to talk about John.
Mike. John. Tell us about John McTiernan.
John McTiernan. Right, okay. He's a director.
Is he?
Yeah. He directed a few films, mainly in the 80s. And he likes lens flare. That's it. Okay,
yes.
Carry
what are you doing
on.
Now?
You like lens flare, don't you, Mike?
Die Hard 4.
Die Hard 4. Right?
Die Hard 4.
Is he really?
Yes.
Can't wait for that.
Yes.
Lens flare. You do a lot of lens flare, we should mention.
I do a lot of lens
flare. And if anyone wanted to see an example of lens flare in one of your films, they could actually buy a DVD of one of your films.
They could, and there's a lot of lens flare in it.
They could, even if they had an iPod video, download one of your films.
They could.
Reasonable price of £5 to keep. With no digital rights management encumbering.
It's amazing. This information seems erroneous at the time, but when you look at the website and see the store, it's going to all fall into place.
Yeah.
So
John McTiernan.
John McTiernan.
He's doing Die Hard 4. Die Hardest.
Die Hardest. Norris style. Right.
Have we any indication as to the plot of Die Hard 4?
It's supposed to be that he's on holiday with his son and has to fight daughter and like adult daughter, and there's talk about Jessica Simpson doing it.
Of
Justin Timberlake doing it.
No.
And it's just, for fuck's sake.
Stop getting pop stars.
Whenever people want to scare the shit out of fans of a major film franchise, they rumour that Justin Timberlake's going to be in it.
Yeah.
It's happening with the Indiana Jones.
It happened with Star Wars. It happened with, you know. Justin Timberlake's going to play Anakin.
It must be horrible.
Might have been slightly better.
Might
have been. Yeah.
I hate him that much.
Well, that's because he's sleeping with Cameron Diaz.
But... No, I just hate him. No.
What have I done here?
Yes. That
It's a better delivery than what
Justin's
it was.
In the room.
It's a better delivery than what it was.
What have
though.
I done? Yes. What have you done, George? But
yes.
We won't get onto that.
He was
what
good
do
friends
you
with Michael
doing?
Jackson, you know. Make it that way, you will.
No, allegedly.
I know.
So
John McTiernan.
Yeah, more. Let's talk more about Die Hard, because the elements in
what the film we're reviewing. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about Die Hard, because there's more elements at play here.
There are many, many very, 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 very cool moments in Die Hard.
Yes.
My personal favourite, mm-hmm. and there are quite a few now I think about it. My personal favourite is the shoot the glass moment.
Yeah.
No, he's hiding this in a room. Though.
Right, okay, so Bruce Willis is in one of the floors of the office building. He's in a slightly smaller office, and the terrorists are outside in the corridor, and he's like hiding behind the wall of the
office.
It's
all open plan, isn't it?
It's all open plan, and he's hiding, they can't shoot him. However, above him is a big pane of glass, and they know he's got no shoes on, so they shoot out the pane of glass and put broken glass all
but
over the floor.
The thing that kills me with this is Alan Rickman says to the evil guy,
his henchman is number one.
Yeah, he's number one.
Oh yeah.
He says, "Shoot whatever the Fenster," and in German, they're both German, and he's going, "Huh?" He's like, the Fenster. He's like, what? Shoot the glass. So he has to say it in English in order for him to understand.
Do you know why that was? Because the majority of the German in that film is utter gibberish.
Is it really?
Yeah. When you watch this film on German TV, they're actually speaking in Swedish. I think they're Swedish terrorists. They're like in Germany, they don't do it because the German language, all of their stuff was completely inaccurate. There's like one or two lines which are accurate, but the rest of it is just gibberish.
That takes the piss.
Yeah. Swedish terrorists.
Yeah.
That's a new one,
ridiculous.
Isn't it?
Something like that.
They
don't
get aggressive, do they?
No.
I just thought they made furniture and ate meatballs. They get angry.
They sell those hot dogs until I get there.
Yeah
and then they've sold
and
out.
And then they don't have them anymore. And I go home disappointed, thinking I walked all the way around that fucking shop for a
They're
hot
too
dog.
Cold in Sweden to be angry. I mean, like, you know.
They just sit inside with coats on.
They sit inside all day. You wouldn't go out if you lived in Sweden.
It's fucking cold.
It's like, well, should we rebel against the government? No, it's a bit fucking cold.
Let them do what they want. If they're willing to go outside,
fuck them. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to Asda, that's it.
There's a war on, right? It's cold.
Oh, it's cold. We've got to fight for this country. Who's fucking wanting this country?
I'm fighting for my house.
So we don't buy the Swedish terrorists. Kind
no,
of
no, I don't think the Germans
that's
do
That's
either.
Terrible. Yeah. I just thought they'd have got a German translation in there. Oh, just a translation.
So that's your coolest moment from Die Hard, Craig?
Yeah. Well, I've not finished, because they shoot out the glass. He's hiding with bare feet, and then they throw a grenade in, so he has to get up and run away.
Yeah.
At which point he runs across the broken glass, which leads to the scene of him sat in the bathroom
picking out of his face.
The most vicious big piece of glass you've ever seen.
I have been through that experience. I stood on a very, very fine glass, and it went through my slipper, through my sock, through my foot, into the artery on the bottom of my foot, and I reacted by going, oh shit, that looks bad, and pulling it out, which was bang out of order. I shouldn't have done that. And blood was pumping everywhere, and it's the most painful injury.
Did you have to sit with like your leg in the air?
It was really bad, yeah.
Like above your head to stop your
blood. And I had something tight around my foot to stop me from bleeding. Yeah. But it was bad. So when I was watching that, I was just reliving that horrific moment. And I was thinking, he's got about 100 pieces in his feet. That's like mine, but 100 times worse. And that just put the horrors through me. That really affected me, that scene.
It is a moment of genius in writing, just to actually have, okay, so we've got this cop, he's in the building, there's loads of terrorists, he's got to kill him one by one. How can we make this a bit more difficult for him? He didn't put his shoes on before the terrorists attacked. It's like, and that's something that would happen well.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing.
He's lucky he had trousers on.
Yeah, that's what he says later on, isn't he? He says, yeah, it looks better than getting caught with your pants down.
Yeah.
And he's just got his vest on, hasn't he?
Yeah, which was kind of the producer's point, I think. But shoes thing was very good point of script writing.
So what's your favourite moment?
My favourite moment is when they're firing the missile out of the building at the Humvee that the SWAT team are sending in. And Bruce Willis, what was it? Hans, you made your point. Let them turn around. Thank you. I'll take it under advisement, Mr. Cowboy. Hit it again. And then fire the second missile in.
Oh, my God. The quarterback is toast.
So what does Bruce Willis do? He does what any normal human being would do. He grabs a computer monitor, wraps some C4 around it on a chair, and drops it down an elevator shaft. probably would have killed all of the hostages as well, but we won't dwell on that fact. So this must have been Geronimo, asshole.
It was
cool, yeah.
It was for dramatic effect, and it worked well.
It was for the bang. Yes,
it worked well.
He made his statement with that.
Yeah.
He didn't quite realise that fire would travel upwards at a completely awkward velocity and probably blow him to shreds as well, but you know, never mind.
He learned.
He didn't do that again in the next one.
Yeah,
he's well hard though as well.
Yeah, he is.
My favourite moment, I think it was probably the first time I ever heard the word motherfucker in my entire life.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Thanks. Crawling on his belly underneath the desks.
Yeah.
And now, what did they do on ITV?
What did they do on ITV? Yippee-ki-yay, kimusabi. What?
What the hell?
What does that mean?
Who said that?
Now, Die Hard 2 had the best one for this one. Because Die Hard 2, the ITV version of
Die Hard Colonel, 2.
Die Hard 2, yeah, and it's all about shopping.
One.
that's just normal title. But yeah, it's the end of Die Hard 2, and he's doing the line again. It's the trilogy line when he kills the main bad guy, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And he's got the lighter out. And ITV decide they're going to replace it with Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falconer.
Oh, yeah.
His character
How
was referred to
is that?
As Colonel Sanders or something like that. Throughout the entire film, the main villain is Colonel Sanders. And for some reason...
Make chicken?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, he's like... Yeah, you know, he's Colonel whatever his name is. I mean, he's not Mr. Falconer. They actually then redubbed another one of the terrorists... just before he gets blown up, saying, yeah, Mr. Falconer, we're ready to lift off now, and redub that as well, so that it would make sense with the line.
God.
That's what the hell is wrong with motherfucker? You know what I mean? I think they say that on, like, Neighbours now.
That was it was the running man.
Wreck off, you motherfucker!
Don't say that, Harold. Don't say that.
Ramsey Street, motherfucker.
Slave.
Isn't Harold being a badass in that at the moment anyway? I've not seen it properly.
No, I haven't watched it in 10 years.
Yeah, he's taking his shoes off. He's now a Nazi Harold.
If you see a man running around with no shoes, always be wary of men with no shoes.
I think you're a Nazi. You've got no shoes on, baby.
You watch, we'll start witch hunting. There'll be some kind of news report next week, shoeless victims.
Right, nobody say anything funny for about 5 minutes. Okay. I need to recover.
Okay.
All right.
Craig, your call as well.
Don't be funny, Craig.
I really like the moment where... Bruce Willis actually meets Alan Rickman for the first time face to face, and he pretends to be a Brit, doesn't he?
No, he pretends to be a Yank.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It's been a while since I've seen it.
John Clay.
That's it. Yeah. Pretends to be a Yank, doesn't he? And and it's so well played by Rickman. It really, really is. And
because he's a legend.
Yeah, because he's a legend.
It's as simple as that.
It's just a priceless moment. I don't want to give too much away on that if you haven't somehow. Yeah, people under the rock with the Wi-Fi. Mm. It's just a classic little moment in there.
Yeah.
And that's where he, in fact, notices he has no shoes as well.
Yeah.
It's also really cool in Die Hard 2 when he blows up the plane.
At the end.
At the end.
I always thought that was really... We can spoil Die Hard 2 because Die Hard 2 is shit.
It's a bag of piss.
Okay. Mm. So the plane is flying away, the terrorists are on the plane, he's on the runway, there's no chance he could catch the plane, but the plane's leaking fuel and he lights the fuel on fire. The fire runs along the runway
into the plane and blows the fucking plane up.
Now, what I love about that was the fact that in Die Hard 1 and in Die Hard 3, he picks off all the terrorists one by one as the film progresses.
Yeah.
Now, he kills a shitload of them, don't get me wrong, in the main bulk of Die Hard 2 as well, but... it's just at the end, they're home free. They're on the plane. They've gotten away with it. They're off. All of them. There's like 30 terrorists on the plane. And John McClane's just sat on the ground with a lighter. And he's just like, fuck you. Shucks it in. Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. Very cool. Now, Die Hard 3.
Mm.
Loved it.
Wicked.
I really, really like Die Hard 3. Mm. Jeremy Irons, again, the brother of Hans Gruber. From Die Hard 1.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Great.
The third collaboration between Jackson and Willis.
What are the other two?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, Pulp
Fiction. No, it's the fourth.
Okay, go on.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable, yeah.
And Loaded Weapon.
Loaded Weapon. Oh, there are, that's by the skin of its teeth.
They're in there, though.
Oh, yeah, they're in the same film. But, gosh.
They barely share a scene in Pulp Fiction either, so if you want to count, you don't want to count that.
They
can't
don't
count
share
either.
A story, do they?
But
really?
he's in Die Hard 3.
Yeah.
Now, the point of Die Hard 3 is that you start off with a massive explosion, don't you, in the big shot.
Yeah, huge.
The police get a call asking for John McClane, who is suspended at the moment. He's drinking. His wife's left him again.
Bit of an alky, isn't he?
Bit of an alky, bit of a reputation
washed
being a bit
out.
Of shit. But this call comes through specifically for him, and it's the guy who's blowing stuff up, played by Jeremy Irons, and it turns out he's the brother of the guy, Alan Rickman, who Bruce Willis killed in the first one. Mm. Mm-hmm. And we think, for most of the movie, he's out for revenge, but he's not. He's out to rip off a load of gold.
As with the first one.
Yeah.
Now, the cool thing about Die Hard 3 is the tasks that John McClane is given to do throughout the movie.
Horrific.
Because, you know, as soon as the first call comes in, Jeremy Irons is getting John McClane to jump through hoops and do some really fucking horrific things, or he'll blow something else up. The first one is he has to strip down to his underpants, go into a predominantly black neighbourhood in New
York.
With
a sandwich board
on. With a sandwich board that says, "I hate niggers."
Yeah.
Now, on the ITV version of this...
They
edited this so that John McClane walks into Harlem and wears a sign saying, "I hate everyone." Therefore, pushing forward the notion that the residents of Harlem, are unreasonably aggressive to any white person that walks into the neighbourhood.
Yes.
Which I think does more damage than good in that regard.
I think so.
What were they thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, because the way it's displayed, we know it's not the main character's opinion. It's in there because it's not an endorsed way of behaviour.
He has been forced to do this. This is the most horrendous thing.
And it's been done specifically because it's known that it will cause conflict.
It will light the blue touch paper and it will kick shit off.
So if anything, actually putting it in there says, don't do that.
Die Hard 3, as much as I enjoy Die Hard 3, it's not as witty as Die Hard.
It doesn't have nearly
as many quotable lines.
It's not as violent either. It's the 15 certificate rated version.
Yeah.
But it's still good.
It's quite
still
expensive good. Looking.
Wasn't a Die Hard film originally.
Really?
It was a film entitled Simon Says. And it was a completely, it was independent of that. And they wanted to do Die Hard 3, and they got a hold of the script and realised that with a little bit of adapting, it could be a Die Hard film. And they just changed their names around.
Well, it certainly worked. It fit, didn't it? It felt like it was John McClane's story.
Yeah. Certainly did. I'm very interested to see what they do with 4.
I found the ending of Die Hard 3 as well a little bit anticlimactic.
Well,
yeah,
again,
it was odd, wasn't it?
It went on too long, because didn't it end and...
Jeremy Irons and that guy, they all should have died on the boat. They should have kept that last action sequence on the boat, but then they just did a little bit too much with the end.
Oh, the bit where the wire on the boat and that guy gets cut in half.
And that and the elevator shootout where they're in the lift. And there's like four of them around.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And he sees the police badge, knows it's his mate's number, and just pulls the gun out and shoots 4 guys while he's in the lift. It's absolutely covered in blood. I love that scene.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's the sequels covered. Something I'd like to point out on Die Hard as well, one thing I really love about Die Hard is the little moments in it, the little bits of realism that they put in, like when the FBI are first storming the building and one of the feds is running across the field and nicks his hand on a rose bush. Mm. And it just goes, "Ah, shit," like that. And it cuts to another bit. And it's just like, why, you know, any other film, you wouldn't have the FBI SWAT, you know, trooper coming in and then like nicking his hand on a rose bush. But they just put it in.
Yeah.
And then like another bit where the terrorist is waiting for the SWAT team. And then he looks down and beneath him on the counter is a bunch of chocolate bars. Mm. And he just reaches down and grabs one and starts munching away. And it's just like funny shit like
just
that.
Just little... genuine human touches in there.
Mm.
Lovely stuff.
It's certainly, I think if we hadn't had Die Hard, we wouldn't have stuff like 24. We wouldn't have had the high octane action for like things like Speed and stuff like that wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Die Hard.
Speed
with the sort of
Speed one,
the lone hero that, you know, again, an anti-hero-ish type thing as well. He's not clean cut. He's not this, that, the other. Mm. Again, when you were talking about the different stages of hero.
Yeah,
the
difference
is very much the 80s
hero. Keanu Reeves was done up so that your mum would love him in Speed.
Well, yeah, but that was the 90s hero.
The 80s hero still smoked.
Yeah. That's
Remember true. Timothy Dalton, the last Bond smoked?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, they still smoked it back in the 80s. It wasn't as much of a health concern. And then in the 90s, they sort of got a bit softer. And then in the noughties...
Don't say it.
Yeah, I know, they've gone... Jack Bauer is the anti-hero of the decade, I think. He defines...
Yeah,
that hero, just as John McClane defines the 80s hero for me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the 90s one is.
Arnie.
No.
No, we're talking about character really.
Not the actual character, the type of character itself.
Right. I don't know. That's one for the forum.
Yeah. Who is the definitive 90s
action hero? I'm sure people will fill it up with the quotes we've missed as well.
The best quote for me in the whole film has got to be when he's on the phone to the woman on the police department and he's calling in and said, "There's terrorists have taken over the Nakatomi building and downtown plaza." And he's like, "Please be advised that this line is reserved for emergency calls only." No fucking shit, lady. Does it sound like I'm ordering a pizza? It's just fucking brilliant. The way it just screams over the line. It's like, great shit. Absolutely terrific.
I think we're about done with Die Hard.
Yeah,
we are.
There's a couple of things.
Yep.
Once again, please go and vote for us on Podcast Alley from the link on our webpage.
Yep.
T-shirts, buy a t-shirt. They're good.
T-shirts. Got some really cool t-shirts.
And this is something I've wanted to mention. The Simply Syndicated website is going to... We're moving the host that it's hosted on. We're changing to a different hosting provider. So that means that at some stage, there's going to be a point where the site just isn't there for about a week, right? The whole website's going to disappear, including the forums, except the Libsyn blog page. That will still be there. That will always be there.
But will the forums reappear as they were?
The forums will reappear, hopefully, as they were. At a certain point, I will back up the database that is the forum.
Okay.
And everything that was on there before then will come back.
So don't worry, your sleepless nights are over. Rich is going to back up the forum.
So what I will do is I'll back it up and then I'll put a post that going, "I've backed it up now. Everything you write from here on in will not exist in a week or two when we come back." But it will come back. It's not. I just don't want anyone to think, "Oh, they've just disappeared." Because we're not going away. We're moving from Lycos to GoDaddy. And we have to transfer the domain names, and that takes 5 to 7 days.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Okay.
So I just... No one panic.
Okay. Do you want to...
And watch out for people with no shoes on.
Yes. Yes.
Fucking Nazis.
If you'd like to support the show, keep us going.
We'd love a £2 donation every month. That would be awesome. We'd really appreciate that.
Again, it's entirely up to you whether you would wish to do this. We're not in any way trying to force it on you.
Podcast is free, always will be. Or if you want something for your money, you can buy a DVD or an iPod download, and then you can talk about it on the forum. I don't know what GMAC thought of the film yet. I might do by the time this
silence might not be a good thing, but we'll see.
That's what I figured, why I didn't push it.
GMAC, you've been quiet recently, actually.
He has.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah. Get back on there.
Come back and slag us off.
Yeah. We miss you, dude.
No one's called me a cunt.
You're
ages.
A cunt.
Right, yeah. Okay.
You're also a cock.
You just wanted to be the first.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Right, let's go, because we're dribbling now.
Good night,
Thank you.
A
lot.